actual cost, then BriskNet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at BriskNet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile, the APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit BriskNet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Well, 13 two-year-old fillies went to the post for the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. The easy winner, Lady Eli, an undefeated daughter of Divine Park. Lady Eli was bred by Runnymede Farm and KSBW Clay, owned by Sheep Farm Partners and trained by Chad Brown, so congratulations to all. She won by widening 2 3/4 lengths and won 33 2, brilliant time for a juvenile of either sex. She won. She's 3 for 3 now. Went into the race off a 3-length score in Belmont's Grade 3 Miss Grillo Stakes. Won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf at the direct expense of Grade 1 winner Sunset Glow, and she's earned over $719,000. Grade 1 winner Divine Park stands at Airdrie Stud, which is the home of the just-retired Carol Prince, graded stakes-winning son of the nation's number 1 ranked second crop sire, Pioneer of the Dow. Carol Prince won the Grade 3 Nashua Stakes, was second by a nose in the Grade 2 Rims in the 2, won the Grade 2 Holy Bull by over 5 lengths, injured then while running 4th in the Grade 1 Florida Derby. He's a superb individual. He's going to stand for $10,000 doing a full stand to nurses at Mr. and Mrs. Burton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to a racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, and we are not in the clocker stand this morning. Feel kind of out of place for some reason or another. I don't know. Creature of habit, I guess, but we are in the HBPA office, which is also here at the Thoroughbred Center out on the Paris Pike, but it's over by Barn 28, which is the old stud barn back when the old family that had that...
Whitney's?
The old Whitney family had that over there. HP, I think it was, had it to begin with. It's been here a long time. I know that... Colonel Chin leased the property once at one time, and the big white house over there on the property was Ted Bassett lived in there. So did Colonel Chin. This place is quite a historic place. It's also where you and I used to train, Jackie.
Yes, we did in that barn. What's so good about that barn? It was an old stallion barn, so the stalls are big.
Big stalls. They open to the outside, you know. The other barn right down here, I forget, that might be 25 now. It's right down to our left from the little stone building here, which is one of the original buildings, too. I've seen pictures of this farm before it was developed, and this little stone building was sitting there.
Wonder right. What it was. Office?
Beats the heck out of me.
I don't know either because it's small. Maybe it was a ham place to cure hams or something.
No, smokehouse.
Smokehouse.
No, it wouldn't have. No, it had windows.
Oh, it had windows then.
Yeah, smokehouse.
Well, that must have been an office.
Smokehouse, and well, I don't know. But anyway, maybe it's just a place where the farm help could come in and warm up or something. It's got a restroom in it, which is nice. The clocker stand doesn't have one, so we have to go up to the porta potty. And I tell you what.
That's information we all wanted to hear.
Oh, that porta potty, it's about 150 yards away. I was in there one day,
cold,
and lightning struck real close by, and I tell you what, that's a sure cure for constipation, let me tell you. Scared me to death. Anyway, we're here at the HBPA office, and thanks to the powers that be, and Leroy and them for letting us use their facilities here. And what are we going to do today, Dr. Brian Waldridge? Well, it's just the regulars are coming on today. Dr. Brian Waldridge, of course, who is the new veterinarian that volunteers his time over at Old Friends. Michael Blown from Old Friends will be here. I don't know if Silver Charm has arrived over there yet or not. We'll find out today, won't we?
Yeah, it's not on Facebook if he has.
Yeah, he was coming back.
Stuff on Facebook.
Yeah, coming back from Japan.
Yes.
So I came back from Japan once, but They didn't fly me.
There wasn't nothing charming about that.
I came back on a slow boat, let me tell you. And it's about a 3-week trip. And it wasn't any cruise.
Nope.
Anyway, all right. We did get stopped in Hawaii, though. That was fun. I've been to Hawaii, let's see, going over, coming back, going over, coming back, 4 times.
Wow.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Yeah, don't you?
No, I'm not, but I'll say that.
Did you do some surfing or something?
Yeah,
did some surfing?
Surfing?
No. No, I didn't do any surfing.
I don't think they invented that yet.
I could tell you some stories about it, though, but they're not fit to be said on the air. So Michael will be here, too, and Steve Moody from the Kentucky Handicap Sheet is going to give us the winner of the River City Handicap. We got Jackie's announcements, as usual. And, of course, you know, last week, November 1, was Breeders' Cup Day, and it was also the anniversary of the death of Man of War, which I didn't do anything because of Breeders' Cup. So I am going to do something about that today. I've got quotes and observations from people who saw the horse close firsthand. Herbert Hazeltine, who did the statue.
Well, you did it. You saw him firsthand.
Yeah, I saw him firsthand, too. But he was getting up there, you know, when I was just a punk kid, you know, when I got to see him. But I got to see him a lot because he was just a bicycle ride away from where I lived. I was brought up on Dixiana Farm, and all I had to do was pedal up the road to Huffman Mill and go down past Maddox Town, turn right, and there you were, you know. I mean, so I got to see him quite a bit. And first time I ever saw him, it was with my father. He took me over there. And that, of course, my dad put the first halter on that horse when he was a foal. So any opinions that you hear from me about Man of War are highly biased, but that's all right. I've got a lot of company along the
way. That's true.
Yeah, including Mr. Hazeltine, Abe Hewitt, who during his lifetime was blessed to see both Man of War and Secretariat Race. You know,
yeah,
and he writes in his book Sire Lines, which was published by the Blood Horse in 1977, and once they did another issue of it, a little bit, whatever you call it, you know, a little bit later on, to another edition, I think came out in the 90s, but the original one was in 1977, and he talks about seeing Man of War for the first time at Belmont Park as a 2-year-old. So, and let's see, we've got, come on in. Hey, Doc,
how are you? You're
nice and early. Have a seat. Dr. Walrus just arrived. You didn't stop to pick up Michael, did you?
No, I didn't have any Michael sightings on the way.
No Michael sightings?
It's usually a cloud of dust.
You usually can hear him before you see him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, how about that? Well, he'll be in. I don't think he's coming into the second hour. So, yeah, anyway. So, also, I've got some observations from Abe Hewitt. Joe Estes also got to see him race and saw the horse and...
We're having a Man of War Fest today.
I was listening. That's really interesting.
Yeah, Joe Palmer wrote about him, and he wrote the obit, which was published in the 1947 American Racehorses, and it's beautiful. And Joe Estes wrote a poem about it. And so we're going to do something on Man of War. I better do it in the first hour because I get Michael on. I'll never get anything in. You know, I mean. So that's what we're going to do. In lieu of a guest, let's see. Let me do a set of commercials here, and then Doc will get you in and out of here. How's that?
I was hoping I could listen to your Man of War.
Well, you got a radio, don't you?
Oh, isn't he gracious?
It doesn't have to be in first person.
He is.
All right. Well, where are all my commercials? I got them buried over here. Oh, let me. One other thing. I got a couple of announcements, Jackie. We're on a regular time next week.
Okay.
Yeah. Come on in. Just bring your own beer and a folding chair. we're on from 10 till 12 next Saturday.
Good.
So You know,
good. I don't like getting up early. I'm sorry. I did it for too many years coming out here. Ooh.
She's beaten the rap. She can.
I can sleep till 7. He can't. He's still.
I still got out of bed at 4:35 o'clock every morning. I know.
Not me.
I did it longer than you did. I've got your age wise.
Yeah, gee whiz, 30 years. What's that?
Yeah.
That's nothing.
That's not how much older I am than you now. We've been married, what, 32 years?
I think so.
Yeah, I guess that's
I'm
right.
Not good at dates.
32. We were married in 1982. Yeah. Okay. All right. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So we'll be on next week at the regular time. And winners from the Thoroughbred Center, we're starting out slow this month, but we've won 3 at Churchill just here recently. Tim Shorter won 1 down at Mountaineer. Jim Rankin, good old Bourbon County boy, won 1 at Mountaineer. And then we've had 3 winners at Churchill Downs in the last couple of days. Luis Jurado, Anthony Hamilton Jr., and Brian Michael. And so they, Churchill Downs winners 3. But that's all we've had so far this week. Okay, well, Algorithms is one of the best bred young sons of Bernardini at stud. And he was a runner. Undefeated, he won his first time out at Belmont as a 2-year-old by over 5 lengths. Then came right back at Gulfstream to win again, going 6.5 furlongs and won 15-2. In his 3rd and final start before an injury ended his career, he won the Grade 3 Holy Bull Stakes by 5 lengths over Hanson, the previous year's champion 2-year-old. Bernardini, a classic winner, son of AP&D, ranks among the leading sires again this year. His 2015 stud fee is $85,000. Abel knows the code. The Dam of Algorithms has produced 5 stakes winners, 4 of them graded stakes winners, including Justin Phillip by the Claiborne Farm Stallion First Samurai. Now, Justin Phillip entered stud last year. Oh, no, this year, 2014. I'm jumping the gun there. I'm already up in 2015 in my mind. Anyway, he was retired for $12,500. Algorithms fee, $7,500 due in the full stands and nurses. Now, his first foals are weanings, so we'll look for them out at the Keeneland Sales. And for more on the Claiborne stands, get in touch with Bernie Sands. Out of Claiborne Farm, here's Bernie's number. It's an 859 number, 233-4252. Take a look at the website at claibornefarm.com.
Well, it's a good feeling to do people do business.
To do people?
you want to rerun that, cut that out, stop that tape and back her up. Okay, it's a good feeling to do business to people. No, I'm kidding. A comforting feeling to do business with people you trust.
We just blew a client, I think.
I hope they're laughing, especially when it comes to insurance. This is an insurance.
Paid the bill yesterday.
Yeah. Okay, when we moved to Bourbon County years and years ago, friends recommended Hopewell Company. That's at least 26 years ago, and they've been taking care of our insurance ever since. They have extensive experience working with horse farms, racing stables. It's Joe and Ted McLean, and Ted was a trainer.
Oh, yeah.
He was
trained for a long time.
Yeah, and he was in the barn with working with
Lucian Lauren.
When secretary was there. So, they cover our house, barn, vehicles, horse trailer, plus liability. They've been right there whenever we needed them. I can testify to that. We got struck by lightning about 1.5 years ago, I think, and they were there that day. They hot-wired the furnace, the refrigerator, the freezer. What else? Maybe the
hot water heater.
Yeah, hallelujah. And came back the next day and started fixing everything.
Boy, they had to tear all the walls out and everything else. It was
We got to be real good friends with those guys. They were, who was it? Linville or Littrell? Which one are the?
Linville.
Linville. Anyway, good guys.
Morning, Billy.
They're an independent insurance agency.
Getting into coffee if that's what you're looking for.
They work for us, not the insurance companies. And so they can give you the best coverage and most competitive prices. I didn't understand how insurance worked like that. If you go straight to the insurance company yourself, they'll fight you for every dime. But they want to keep Hopewell's business. And Hopewell wants to keep our business. And by golly, they cut through that stuff. That's the way to do it. Contact the Hopewell Company. They'll give you a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. That's the Hopewell Company, 820 South Main Street in Paris, 987-2347. Or there's the Lexington number, 254-2431. You get great service. I guarantee. He's telling me to go faster, see, so I'm aggravating him here.
Well, if you're looking for a young, winning, in full mare from a family loaded with black type, look no further than the Indian Creek Consignment in Barn 23 out of Keeneland. Selling tomorrow, five winning mares. In fact, three of them earned over $100,000 each, and all with black type under their first names, all from top families. In foal to Into Mischief, Pioneer of the Nile, Arch, 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 Power Broker, and Old Fashioned. Also in the Indian Creek Consignment are four promising weanling colts and a weanling filly. The filly is by the ever-popular Flatter, and her half-sister is placed in two group stakes in France this year. The colts are by the hot sire Into Mischief, the leading second-crop sire Pioneer of the Nile, the tough young grade one winner Arch, 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 and Puppet's young grade one winning son Power Broker. There's also a young winning broodmare that's a half-sister to the 2014 stakes winner, Irish You Well, out of a half-sister to the grade one winner, Zensational. Quality consignment from a consignor noted for selling quality horses, Indian Creek. And to ensure your purchases, get in touch with the Clay Ward Agency over in Paris, 859-987-1861. That's where they've been insuring the world's finest thoroughbred since 1931. Long time ago. Right, I've got Dr. Waldridge, Brian Waldridge here this morning. Has Silver Charm showed up yet?
I think he's still coming the day after Thanksgiving. Michael's telling me he's going to go to Chicago and do his quarantine and then come here.
Oh, they're going to quarantine him up there? Yes. You'll quarantine him a little bit down here yourself, though, won't you?
We do a 3-week when they get back. That's usually enough time for anything to pop up if they have
like Ebola or something like that.
Yeah, right. Not that horses get Ebola. We want to say that. We don't want the CDC showing up in Kentucky.
No, we don't.
We'll just watch, and I think because he's coming from a foreign country that there are some health regulations that they have to follow up on, the federal people, as well when he comes back.
Yeah. Here?
Here, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Because he's a stallion.
In Kentucky also. Oh, okay.
Yes, because the stallions, bringing back in things like CEM, contagious equine metritis, I think is what they're most worried about.
Yeah. Yeah, we've gone through that once before.
Yes, because that can cause quite a bit of trouble.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, wasn't it? That was, it was Cairo, I think, Elocutionist, a couple other horses that had that, I believe.
And there were some, a couple years ago, there were some warm bloods that kind of were all through the U.S. that had come back, and I think some of those stallions, they never figured out exactly where they could have picked it up.
Is that right?
But there was a stallion station, and they kind of traced it back to when they were cleaning the stallions. Maybe they were using the same bucket among the stallions and things like that. So, but they traced it back. But there's pops up here and there, so we have to watch for it.
Was the stallion station in this country or overseas?
I think it was upper Midwest somewhere. But there were warm bloods, as I remember.
Oh, okay.
So they're probably imported warm bloods that had it.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. Well, so Silver Charm's not here yet. So
not here.
We'll just have to. Little Silver Charm is
He's still here.
Yeah. Well, what's going on today? You got something that you want to get off your chest?
Well, the topic's come up a lot is cobalt in horses. People have been seeing that on a lot of the websites, and some of the Indiana just put a threshold in for cobalt in horses. And
what do you mean by threshold?
They've got an allowable blood level that put
What's
in.
What's cobalt do?
Well, it's a blood doping agent. It's pretty interesting when you go back and read about what it does. Is high levels of cobalt in the blood, and I don't think it's exactly known how it does this, but if you have high levels of cobalt in the blood, it'll stimulate those same genes that are turned on in your body by low oxygen in the blood. And so when that happens, there's a hormone called erythropoietin that's produced. And so that's produced by the kidneys. Then that goes to the bone marrow and says, produce more red blood cells because we need to carry more oxygen in the body. Mm-hmm. So cobalt stimulates those same genes.
So how long does it take to work, just incidentally?
Well, don't really know. In horses, in humans years ago, they used to use cobalt in people that had really severe kidney disease.
Oh, okay.
And so that's probably where the knowledge comes from on this cobalt. But now we have And you see those commercials on TV sometimes for hormones to help your body make more red blood cells and all. So they have a recombinant of bacterial produced.
Okay, it's a mineral.
It's a mineral. It's a micro mineral.
So how does it work? Do they put it in a solution and just inject it?
Injectable, because there is some cobalt in horse feeds. But it's put in a really low rate because horses...
Just with other minerals.
Right, and it's a low inclusion rate because really cattle need cobalt because that's part of cyanocobalamin, which is vitamin B12. Mm-hmm. So in cattle, you need to put it in their feed because they make their own B12. And horses and monogastrics like us, we need it as B12. So we can't make it. We have to get B12 in our diet.
That's interesting because they say now most people have a B12 deficiency in some form, a little or a lot, especially as you get older, they tell you to take B12.
Because it is important to help you for your metabolism, make DNA and things like that, make red blood cells.
Grow
and
hair.
Another step.
So they've got a threshold and test threshold in Ohio?
And Indiana has set one. And there's been.
Well, what's it supposed to do to a horse?
Well, just make those more red blood cells. So it's a blood doping agent.
Yeah.
It's been used in humans, of course, too. So probably there's a lot of this has come from human use of it as well.
It's a blood doping.
Right. So it makes you make more red blood cells.
More red blood cells run faster. Less, what?
More oxygen.
More oxygen, less whatever acid.
Good Lord have mercy. What are you going to think of next?
I don't know.
Only thing we had test for us was... I had a horse test for nicotine.
Really?
Yeah. It cost me a purse. Can you believe that? I didn't even know he smoked. You know, I mean, my God. Hey, so Michael, how are you this morning?
Morning, Ursula.
We were saying you weren't coming in. We were saying you weren't coming in until the second hour, but, you know, I had no telling what he's going to do.
Probably be I just got inspired. I woke up this morning and I said, gee whiz, I wouldn't want to miss this. I've got to get up here and get here as early as I possibly can because I'm so darned excited.
Oh, God, I'd leave if I could.
But I don't want to interrupt the important stuff.
You what now?
I don't want to interrupt the important stuff.
Oh, okay.
With Dr. Waldrich.
Did you hear him talking about cobalt?
No, I missed it.
Tell him, Doc.
So we're talking about cobalt. Coming up as a blood doping agent in horses, and states are starting to set some thresholds, and the racing commissions are doing research to try and get that threshold where it's reasonable, where we won't have overages. So it's coming up quite a bit here lately.
I could do some of that myself.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Wow.
If it, what it ultimately does is go to the bone marrow to produce more red blood cells. Sounds like that would, you couldn't do it right before a race.
Well, right, that's because they're starting to set those thresholds and the horses are getting, but it's going to take, like if you go from in the bone marrow from the very start to when a red blood cell leaves the bone marrow, it's about 28 days before
that's what I mean. You have to go big time a month out to do it.
Right, because it's going to take a month.
That was the question.
Oh, that's a good question. That's how long it's going to take to make a new red blood cell in the horse.
Well, so if it shows up, they know that they did it at least 28 days or before or something like that.
Or the horse has been regularly getting it because what's normally in the horse's diet, it's going to be a really low level. So if a horse...
I can't see that there's a whole hell of a lot wrong with it, to tell you the truth. You know, I mean, I could use some more red blood cells if it made me feel better. What, you know, what's... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like... Lasix, you know, I mean, it seems to me, you know, if it helps the horse. Incidentally, Dr. Byers agreed with me on that.
Yeah, well, you're both wrong, but that's all right.
we'll do Lasix another show.
My question is it detrimental to the horse's health to do that?
Well, there are some, it looks like it can be toxic, has toxic effects on the thyroid gland, and then when the horses get these higher doses of cobalt, they do have, at least initially, get some distress from that. So they'll kind of pant and have some muscle shakes and things like that.
These commercials that come on TV, you know, about the different things that you can take for this, and it's going to do this, going to that. And then they spend a one-minute commercial, they spend 45 seconds telling you what is going to happen, you know.
Oh, that's right.
You're going to die from everything from ingrown toenails to dandruff. I mean, you know, I mean, it scares the hell out of you. You're not gonna, right. I'm not going to take that. Oh, Lord.
That's why you just have Dr. Waldridge's good advice to take.
Well, I'm going to take it.
You know. All right, I'm just telling you.
Jackie, do we take cobalt, you know? Jackie's always feeding me these. I don't know.
It's a mineral, liquid mineral mix. It's probably in there.
Probably have the B12, which would be cyanocobalamin, which has cobalt.
I know somebody whose hair was thinning and got B12 injections in her head, and her hair's coming back.
Michael has hope for us. Yeah,
I know, exactly. Do you have her number? We're going to market a shampoo.
That's exactly right.
But all these were injections they injected.
Well, how long has this been going on, this cobalt stuff? Do they know?
Oh, it's fairly recent. It's in the last couple of years really started to hear much about it. In horses, human athletes, things have been going on longer.
Is that right?
They do it in human athletes. Yes. That's interesting.
Yeah, you never make a Hall of Fame, I guess. That's what they do. And God... Oh, condition books. Thanks, Rob.
No problem.
All right. Where are they from, Jackie? What condition books? Huh?
Churchill Downs.
Oh, Churchill Downs. Okay, the new Churchill Downs. I'll make an announcement. The new Churchill Downs condition book is now at the HBPA office, and you're welcome to come over here and get one. Stand back, everybody. Here they come.
For the month of November.
For the month of November.
I went out there the other day.
You went up to Churchill?
Yeah.
What was going on?
A cold day. Well, we had some meetings to talk about some things we might be able to do with old friends at Churchill Downs in the spring.
Oh, wow. That's so nice.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope it works out really great. But the coolest part of the whole time was, you know, Rosie Napravnik was there with her husband, Joe Sharp, the trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And she was freezing. She's out there in the paddock freezing. So I went over to talk to her and show her a newspaper article that had her and Joe's picture in it and give it to her. And she said, man, she goes, this is cold. She goes, I've been in the receiving barn for over an hour. You know, we just come out here for like 10 minutes, get on these horses and go back in. It's warm and everything. I never knew you could get this cold.
Why didn't you lend her your jacket and be a hero?
I did. I asked her if she wanted it.
Oh, you ask her. What you do, you take it off and you put it over her shoulders and say, here, honey.
Yeah. You know, this is just what I need, romance tips from Ursula. This is fabulous. That'll be coming on at 10 o'clock, just before the football game. Hello, this is Dating Advice with Ursula Ellis. What you want to do is you want to get that carriage out a little early, warm it up before you hook the horse up.
Any southern gentleman would do that.
Well, I'm a northern whatever.
Well, the whatever route covers it.
That is it. We had some great visitors this week. We had a woman named Hannah and her husband, Jack. Jack was a exercise writer, maybe still is, for Bob Baffert. He exercised Silver Charm and War Emblem. And it was funny because he exercised War Emblem for the Belmont, and she exercised Sarava.
Oh,
for the Belmont. And so Steve
they
has
still speak?
What's that?
They still
yeah,
speak?
Not only that, they have a little kid, a really cute little kid. So they came to see Sarava. It was really nice. And we had a good time.
They do more than speak it, otherwise.
I don't know. Is that how it works? Okay. I'm from up north. I don't know about that.
Hey, listen, I've got to pay a bill here.
Go ahead, please.
If you'll shut up for a minute. November 2 at Santa Anita, the Grade 2 Golden Cobra Stakes was won by Flimby. It's a 4-year-old filly. She's by Mizzenmast. Flimby won by daylight after breaking last in a field of 8 and going 5 wide into the stretch. She has 6 wins, has been in the money in 12 of her 13 career starts, and the Golden Cobra was her 3rd stakes win. She won Saratoga's De La Rose Stakes earlier this year, won stakes in France last year, and she's earned over $386,000. Mizzenmast is the sire of 7 2014 stakes winners, among them the undefeated 2-year-old colt Full Mast, Mizzenmast's most recent Grade 1 stakes winner, and his 7th, incidentally, Grade 1 stakes winner, Grade 1 stakes winner Litteris, and Grade 2 winner Stonetastic. Flimby is out of the Seattle Slough Mare Flute, winner of the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks, the Grade 1 Alabama, and of more than $1 million in Flute as a weanling filly by First Defense at Judmont Farm here in Kentucky. Now, First Defense and Mizzenmast both stand at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmont.com. Well, Sally Van Service, the number one van service in the country, and has been for many, many years, been in business over 60 years now, and they've learned a couple of things along the way. And they've also hauled many of the greatest runners ever step on a racetrack. They've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their equipment, their vehicles and equipment have to be in tip-top condition. But the most important safety factor for Sally Vans is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. And they're extremely proud of their drivers over at Sally Van Service, and with good reason. They're experienced drivers, they're experienced horsemen, and that, my friends, is a winning combination. Just think about the next time you ship your horse. And I don't care if it's across the country or across the county. When you load one of your horses onto a Sally van, you can depend that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. At Sally van, they wouldn't have it any other way, and that's one reason why for over half a century, Sally van has been the safest way to the winner's circle. Here's her phone number. It's 859-255-9640, and their website is sallyhorsevans.com, S-A-L-L-E-E, horsevans.com. Well, the well-named Fast Bullet by a champion sprinter, out of a daughter of a champion sprinter, is going to stand the 2015 season at Windstar Farm. Now, Fast Bullet was 2 for 2 as a two-year-old. One first time out, sprinting 6 furlongs and 108 and 2 out at Santa Anita. Won his second start at Hollywood Park and 109 flat. At 3, he won the Grade 2 True North Stakes at Belmont, going 6 furlongs and 108 and 1 for a 110 buyer. He was the betting favorite in every career start, and his average winning margin was nearly 5 lengths. Fast Bullet is a grand individual. He was a $230,000 sales yearling at Keeneland. He's by the champion sprinter and leading sire Sprightstown. He's out of a daughter of champion sprinter Dejure and champion two-year-old filly Brave Raj. And she, of course, won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. It's a speed pedigree, and Fast Bullet lived up to it. He is to stand the 2015 season at Windstar Farm. His stud fee, $5,000. Due in the full stands and nurses. Inquiries to Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, or Kyle Wilson, 859-873-1717, and see the website windstarfarm.com. All right, well, tell me about your visitors that you have.
Well, Steve Haskin, in his book, Tales from the Triple Crown, wrote a really wonderful story about this couple because, of course, all week, everybody was talking to Jack because Warren was expected to win the Triple Crown, and nobody was talking to her about Saraba because Saraba obviously had no chance of winning. Well, as we know, you know, Saraba won, and Steve immortalized the whole thing in this wonderful chapter in his book, Tales from the Triple Crown. So that was really, really nice. And then yesterday, nice guy came by who works for the racing form out west. And his name is John Lindo, and John came by, and he owned Amazombie. So he came by to see Amazombie and make a nice donation and see all the other horses. So that was really nice. And then next week, let's see, Tuesday, Jeff Berg, who owned El Brujo, and Victor Cooley's coming by with his wife. And on that same day, we're having two visitors that run the Meadow Stable up in Virginia, where Secretariat was born in Reaver Ridge and everything. So The Commonwealth of Virginia runs it now, and they're trying to set up kind of like a horse park. In fact, I think they're working with John Nicholson, but I'm not sure.
Oh.
Anyway, they want to see old friends and see what kind of operation we have. So we're going to be it's going to be lovely to see that.
Yeah. Well, that's nice.
And we're all on pins and needles awaiting Silver Charm's arrival.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we all aren't, but I am.
Well,
I am.
Brian was telling me he won't be there until around Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Supposed to, right now the schedule is for him to arrive in the States in Chicago on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
And then he's got to be test bred to a couple mares and do some other things. So We're working on all those details.
Yeah. Well, what did you think of the Breeders' Cup?
Well, I barely made it out alive with my cash. If it wasn't for Rosie on Untappable, I think I would have been in deep trouble. What did I think of it? Well,
serves him right, didn't it?
I'm biased now because I'm a big Bob Baffert fan, you know, because we're going to end up with the two best horses he ever trained. Game on, dude. And Silver Charm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a rough start. There's no doubt about that. But I've seen some rough starts before, both in the Kentucky Derby and Breeders' Cup and all of that. And I don't know how you would – rearrange the race to suit everybody. So I say let it stand. I think they made the right decision. And I thought the day after –
I should have taken his number down.
Well,
go ahead.
See, that's what I say. Everybody's got their opinion. I'm not saying I'm right. You just asked me what I thought.
If it had been one of my horses on the inside of him, you know, I'd have been screaming.
Yeah, but if it was him, what would you think? Oh, yeah, excuse me, Mr. Stewart, would you take my horse down because he bumped into that other horse, and I'm really awfully sorry.
No, I wouldn't apologize. Say that. I'd be somewhere lighting a candle.
Well, there you go. That's what I'm saying. It all depends on your perspective. Holy cow. You know, everybody's going through their tickets saying, how can I rearrange this?
Well, what'd you think, Bob?
It was a pretty good bump, you know, when you watched it.
No kidding.
I don't say at the start, I don't know what you do.
He herded more horses than Roy Rogers, for God's sake. You know what I mean? It was oh well. But it was other than that, I thought it was a pretty good that thing at that won the Breeders' Cup of Ramsey's, the one who was the Breeders' Cup Turf Filly and Mare Sprint.
Yeah.
I looked at the chart on that. You know, at the eighth pole, she was 12th.
I know.
Can you believe that?
That's incredible.
I mean, it looked like somebody shot her out of a cannon.
That was really nice. And Ken just celebrated his 400th win at Churchill Downs the other day.
And his 78th birthday.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, bless he's another visitor to old friends.
Oh, is he coming over?
Well,
he's
been
over a couple.
Yeah.
He's got something over there, hasn't he? Or is he just giving you money?
He's just giving me money.
That's
keep your horses canned. Just bring money.
No obligations at all. But he likes it. He likes to drink Sam Adams and drive around in the golf cart and look at the horses.
Oh, well, good for him. Mm-hmm. He knows how to enjoy life, though.
Yes, he does. You know, he's a great example. You know, he's a great example of people who can own horses and breed them and do all that and really have a ball.
Yeah. I don't know anybody that enjoys it more than he does.
And he gave Rosie's husband a bunch of horses.
Oh, did
Joe
he?
Sharp, yeah.
Good.
And so Ken says, well, okay, here it is. I'm going to give you these horses. And at the end of the year, we're not winning at 20%. We're going to have to do something else.
Right.
There you go. And then let's go.
That's great.
Yep.
You know right up front where you stand with a man.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, right now, I think Joe could lose the rest of the year and still be about 40%. I forget. He's had like 20 starters and 11 wins. I mean, it's a crazy percentage.
Yeah. Believe me, it will average out.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what happened when we were down at Kentucky Downs and Joe – the first horse Joe ever ran, I forget the horse's name now, but the first horse he ever ran under his own name won a $100,000 race at Kentucky Downs.
Yeah.
It was the Jack Van Berg purse.
Yeah, ruined him.
And Jack was in the winner's circle.
Yeah.
And Rosie, of course, Joe's wife, rode the horse. So he's hugging her and they're celebrating everything. And Jack Van Berg says, hey, kid, he says, want to quit hugging the jockey and come over here and get your trophy? I turned around to Jack and I said, you know, that's the first horse he's ever run in his name, and he won the race. He goes, hey, kid, it's all downhill from here. Thank you for your...
Jack and I learned the hard way. We started out with four horses that we'd raised. But one of them was Jimmy Drummond's, I think. But anyway, and they all... So that one of them won a first start, the other one a second start, the other one a third start, you know, I mean, and we thought, God, how long has this been going on? Well, we learned, you know.
That's like the first day I ever went to the racetrack and made money.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, boy, this is great. They're giving it away here. Ay, ay, ay. What an idiot.
I haven't seen Jack in years, Van Berg. He used to train horses for a good friend of mine named Don Bruce, who was from Perry, Iowa. He owned Hawkins Special.
Hawkins Special,
yeah.
Taylor Special's sire.
Right, and Switch Partners. And he had some nice horses that he raised out there. He and I owned some together, him and a couple of mares together or something like that.
Now, Jack had some horses at Thistle Downs last year. I wonder if he's coming back this year. I don't know. We'll have to look that up. We'll get the crack... Horsetails Research Department on that, and we'll find out. Hello, excuse me. Can I have the Research Department of Horsetails? Excuse me. Yes, that's line 2. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't use it a lot.
We'll get back to you.
Any research is done, I have to do it for this show. But
he's busy. First, leave the sandwich.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll report next week.
Well, where is he now, Jack? You know?
No. I think he's back out in California.
Yeah,
Northern, he was in Northern California.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, you know, because he was at the top of the game for a long time.
It's amazing. Yeah, he had some good horses. Yeah.
Yeah. Good horseman, his daddy before him. His father, you know, they're from Nebraska.
They're both in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What was his
Marion.
Name? Marion Van Buren.
Marion Van Buren.
Yeah, I mean, he used to lead number of winners every year, you know. And that was back when he had Axar been out there. And
sure.
It was some good racing out there.
John Beach used to tell me that he cost, that Jack Van Buren cost Sunshine Forever the Breeders' Cup Turf when he lost by a half a length to a Great Communicator. Because Jack Van, it was a rainy day at Churchill Downs. It was really muddy and nasty. And Jack Van Buren came to the racing office and said, if you don't seal that track, I'm going to scratch Ali Sheba out of the Classic. They sealed the track, and Sunshine Forever couldn't get his morning jog. And John Beach told me it was the only time he ever went in there screaming and telling him, what do you mean I can't take my horse on the track? I'm just telling you what they tell me. I don't know what the story is.
Well, he just told a story.
Well, I know. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This is why he runs the crack research department, because he's a stickler for the facts.
Most of which I forget. Well.
You see this new condition book? This is a great thing you brought in here, and Jackie just showed me this.
What?
Any owner, this is in the condition book at Churchill Downs. Any owner or trainer based at Churchill Downs who sells a horse for slaughter that was previously stable at Churchill Downs will have his or her stalls permanently revoked.
Oh, my goodness.
I just want to mention that to everybody.
I think that's
so
great.
Just in case you had any nefarious ideas, I wouldn't do it if I were you.
Yeah.
Running off the killers.
Let me pay a bill here.
All right, good.
Well, the day that Albertus Maximus won the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup mile, that's the dirt mile, he got the distance in 1:33.2. The winning time for this year's Breeders' Cup dirt mile was 1:35. Albertus Maximus also set a new track record for a mile in the Windy Sins Handicap out of Del Mar, won the Grade 1 Don Handicap over a mile and an eighth at Gulfstream Park, and placed in the Grade 1 Goodwood, the Grade 3 Affirmed, and the Grade 2 Swaps Breeders' Cup Mile. Retired with earnings of over $1,328,000. Now, the first crop by Albertus Maximus will race next year. Stands at Shadwell Farm. That's the home also of De Hare, Interdab, and Invisor. Every stallion with foals of racing age standing at Shadwell is sired graded stakes winners, and all three are siring hard-hitting runners that pay their ways at the races. And it's also noteworthy that the Shadwell stallions stand for reasonable stud fees. Just give stallion manager Kent Barnes a call, 859-224-4585, and check the website at shadwellfarm.com. Quillen Leather and Tack, another person, another outfit that Michael Blowen freelances off of.
Thank you, Ralph.
Yeah.
There's some people on this planet that are very generous and appreciate what these great horses have done for us.
And that's Ralph Quillen is one of them. And yeah.
Yes,
he's not giving you that any beer away down at,
I got to pay for that.
You got to pay for the beer. Yeah.
It's still worth it, though. The beer is great.
And a variety.
Yep.
Yeah. Rooster Brewery in Paris, Kentucky. It's right on Main Street. You can't miss it. It's on the left. But to get there, you have to pass Quillen Leather and Tack.
Ralph's going to own the whole town pretty soon.
Yeah, he's buying property down there. Yep. You know, like he's some kind of a millionaire.
He's having fun.
Yeah. Yeah. He's sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good businessman. And that tack shop is a great place to go. I mean, you know all about that, but the halters that you get from there and God
it's
only
beautiful.
Knows.
I got to go over and get a Silver Charm halter. I got to get a new halter made for him.
Yeah. Well, he might as well go ahead and get a dozen of them because they're all going to end up on eBay.
I know.
Yeah.
Great Christmas gifts.
Yeah, great Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
One a day.
He's pushing belts.
Oh, he's pushing belts.
You can put Silver Charm's name on a belt, too.
That was two weeks ago he was pushing belts.
He's still pushing belts.
He's still pushing belts.
And okay. Belts. Depends on which store you go to.
You're right. Well, those leather, well, he makes a wide variety of those leather belts with your nameplates on it, you know.
But they even make them big enough to fit you, right?
Now, if you do a lot of running around and you're leaving your pants there somewhere in an emergency, you don't want one of those belts.
Or with your name on it and your phone number. Jackie has one on Ursula's belt that has a phone number in case he gets lost and can't find his way home.
Hey, that's an idea.
Call Jackie.
We got one of those for our dog for him. Sure,
well, that's what I mean.
Next thing you know, I'll be wearing a car.
Yeah, yeah, this is a good thing.
God, you had to put that idea into your mind.
Ralph's going to have mine special next week, 20% off.
I just had an idea. You know, mayors around here wearing what is the equivalent of a belt.
Right.
Neck strap. Mayor
right.
neck straps with their name on them. I used to collect those things. You can get some famous mayor. Think about that. Ask some farms if they, you know, if you replace the famous mayor's
neck strap,
you might put them on eBay. And
we got money. A new mayor. We got a mayor, nice mayor.
Well, that's fine. I wasn't talking about that.
No, I know that. I just thought of it, and I thought I'd mention it. Nice mayor donated by Hill and Dale. Halo America. Very nice mayor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, produced a lot of nice stakes winners.
Getting back to Quillen Tech.
Yes, sir.
Here's how you get it. Here's how you find the tack shop. It's the nation's largest custom halter shop. That's what it is. You go into Paris from the Lexington area, and you go to the third stoplight and look to your left. You go in there, and you shop and buy your halters. There's a nice gift shop and everything. You go out, you get in your car. The parking lot's right behind it. Pull up on Main Street, turn left, and go on down to Rooster Brewery and have a beer.
Yeah, you can celebrate your purchase.
There you go. Right?
Yahoo!
Yahoo! That's two great outfits and a nice guy. Ralph is he really is a nice person. I'll say that even if I don't mean it.
Now.
Yeah, he is nice. Well, last Saturday at Santa Anita, the Grade 1 $2 million Hans Winery Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Stakes was won by Take Charge Brandy, a two-year-old filly by Giants Causeway. That same day in New York, the Grade 3 Discovery Handicap went to Protonico, a three-year-old colt by Giants Causeway. Now, Giants Causeway aside, the winners are nearly $11 million this year, currently ranked second on the North American sire list. Of course, he's topped that list three times. He is the sire of 15 2014 stakes winners, and he is the leading sire of graded stakes winners this year with 11, and he is also the number one ranked sire on the juvenile sire list. His two-year-olds have earned more than $2,348,000 this year. Now, the nation's leading sire of two-year-old winners is looking at Lucky with 21, all from his first crop. And four of his 21 winners have won stakes, and he's tied for number one among all freshman sires in that category. Leading sires, Giants Causeway and Looking at Lucky, both stand at Ashford Stud. For more on the stallions at Ashford Stud, call the farm at 859-873-7088 and see the website at coolmore.com.
This article in today's racing form about the Eclipse.
What were you
awards.
Reading? Stephen Is that Chris today's Hart. Racing form?
Yes, sir.
Oh. Well, oh, you bought your own.
I'll get tomorrow's.
Yeah, we need Sunday's racing form.
He's just talking about who he's going to vote for. He's going to vote for Horse of the Year.
Oh, who is he going to vote for? Who is this now?
Stephen Criss.
Okay.
He makes an argument that if, you know, that Wise Dan's a great horse and deserves all his awards, et cetera, but he thinks that the Horse of the Year, you know, the same horse should not probably win the Turf Horse of the Year and the Horse of the Year. If they're turf horses, that should be for dirt horses. Horse of the Year. But anyway, he says he's going to vote for Palace Malice over Golden Sense, and he's going to consider Game on Dude for third.
You know, California Chrome ran a heck of a race.
Yeah, he did. He ran a great race.
Yeah, he really, you know. Mm-hmm. Of course, he ran good in the Belmont.
Yeah.
You know, he got beat a length and a half in the Belmont. You know, I mean, this is a nice colt.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that a lot of them would come back for the Clark. I thought this would make the Clark handicap the biggest race of the year.
Well, it'd be a little quick, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's a little too quick. But if another week or so, it would be really neat.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because it's obviously Horse of the Year is wide open. Mm. And there's a lot of candidates.
That's a race that's been around a long time, mm-hmm. Clark handicap.
Yeah.
I remember the 1934 winner, filly named SF.
Yeah, I had the six in that race.
That's funny. It didn't but five start.
Okay. Probably why I couldn't cash.
Probably. Well, I remember SF real well. They sent her to Virginia to be bred, and she came back infected, and they never could get her in foal after that. Couldn't clean her up at that. You know, this is back in the 30s. Beautiful mare. She was by High Time. Go ahead. You going to say something else, or are we going to wrap
I'm
you
all right. I'm doing fine here. I'm just looking through the rest of it and seeing all these wonderful people that are supporting Thoroughbred Aftercare at New Vocations and other places. There's the Breeders' Cup Pledge.
Yeah, that they took out a full color. I'm sure Blood Horse donated that.
Yeah, I'm sure they did, too. They're fabulous.
Yeah.
So that's really nice. So there you go. Looks pretty good. Well, who's going to go to the Japan Cup? That's what we want to know, too. Who's going to go to Dubai for the... It's going to be exciting now to see which horses they send over there.
Yeah, hope you can come out of there alive.
Game on Dude won that race.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he sure did.
Silver Charm won it, too.
Okay. Who else did you have?
I think that's it.
Oh, good.
I know it wasn't my horse. Summer Attraction. It wasn't him. I know that.
Was your horse named Summer Attraction? Mm-hmm. Is that the horse you had up at Suffolk Downs?
Yes.
Oh, okay. He was lucky to win. Did he
yes,
win?
He was.
Well, where did he win?
He won at Suffolk.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Beat a four-horse field going 2 furlongs.
2 furlongs?
Yeah. But you know what was really interesting about that race? Now that everybody...
Route.
All right. Huh?
I said it was a route. Huh?
No. There were 4 horses. But one of the horses was owned by Jim Mosley, who owned the track. And he paid like $240,000 for this horse. And basically... This race was written for his horse so he could win because his whole family was there all dressed up and everything else. And Summer Attraction was a $5,000 purchase out of Florida, and he's a New York bred out of a mediocre stallion named Dominated. Anyway, I didn't own Summer Attraction at the time, but they ran him in this race, and he beat this guy's, the owner of the track's big horse. I forget what he paid, like $30 or something in a 4-horse field.
Did the guy lose his stalls?
No, you know what? Mr. Mosley was one of the nicest, kindest, most intelligent people I ever met. He came over and congratulated everybody and said it was a beautiful day, you know, and all that. No, he was really gracious about it.
Yeah.
But that was cool. Of course, he didn't win another race for a year and a half. He didn't know he had to go 6 for a while.
Did he ever win with the horse?
With Mr. Mosley's horse? Yeah. Oh, yeah. He went on and won some nice races, but he wasn't built to run 2 furlongs.
Yeah. Why in the world would he ride a horse for 2 furlongs? Just race for 2 furlongs, you know? It's not a quarter horse, for crying out.
No, I know. Who knows? I mean, I forget who the racing secretary was at the time, but,
yeah.
You know, they just started at the top of the stretch and went to the finish line.
Wow.
And well, that's another fabulous story here on Horse Tales.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Here comes your Sunday. Let me look at this real quick. See what we got in here, Jackie. Has to do with Sunday. Sunday's edition of the Daily Racing Form is now on your newsstands. And let's see what we've got here. Anything at let's say other than what
we're
what
doing a book signing for the old friend's book this weekend at Barnes and Noble.
Really?
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
I really like Barnes and Noble now.
Yeah.
We go there.
It's nice. It's one of the few places you can go now. Well, there's Morris Books and there's Black Swan Books. There's a very few bookstores where you can go and browse and look for stuff.
Yeah. And they always have those, you know, cheap markdown books. You know, that's what I go for, you know. I
mean, oh, surprise, surprise. He goes for the hieroglyphics.
I'm just reading a biography.
used.
I have, you know, I'm reading a biography of Joe Kennedy right now.
Well, I'm reading the biography of Jerry Lee Lewis.
Oh.
Oh, are you?
I'm in it.
You're in it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, how?
I interviewed him. And he'd done this press conference about this movie they made called Great Balls of Fire. And with Dennis Quaid. It was a pretty bad movie. So he'd done this press conference. And he talked about working on having the movie and how he liked the movie and everything. So then afterwards, we were having lunch and a few beers, and he started to talk. And he says, I hate, just, I can't stand that movie, he says to me. I go, really? I said, you just said you liked it. He said, they paid me. What am I supposed to say?
You got a pen, Jack?
He said, Dennis Quaid thought he was going to do the songs. He's not going to do this. And I wouldn't let him do the songs. And
what?
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for a pen. Oh, a purse. Sitting on Jackie's purse.
Oh, here it is.
Damn thing weighs a ton. Be careful. Probably got hand grenades and everything else.
I wouldn't blame her.
No.
I would not blame her. Be armed to be
Well, let me catch up here, and then...
I want to hear the rest of Dennis Quaid's
story. No, that's pretty much it, but what made it into the book is the fact that, you know, he told everybody that he liked the movie at the press conference, and then afterwards, when he had the chance to sit down and think about it, he said, I took that boy down to the river, and I said to him, son, if you think you're doing these songs, only one of us is coming back from this river.
He was Elvis's cousin.
No, he wasn't. He was Jimmy Swaggart's cousin and Mickey Gilley's cousin.
Oh, okay.
But he and Elvis were there at Sun Records at the same time with Johnny Cash and Carl Perkins.
I love Carl Perkins.
All right. Ursel's yawning.
No. Okay.
We don't want that. I'm going now. I'm going to go.
I'm going to do a commercial.
Can I take the Sunday one? Or are you done with the Sunday one?
No, you're going to have to hang on a minute. I got to take some notes out of it. But Golden Sands, the only back-to-back winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup. Mile is now at Spendthrift Farm. Got to go over and see him. Going to stay in his first season and stood there next year. There, too, is his sire, Into Mischief. And Into Mischief was one of the first stallion prospects offered on Spendthrift Farm's popular Share the Upside program. And it's been quite an upside. Now available on the Share the Upside program are the Grade 1 winners Cross Traffic and Shaking It Up. Cross Traffic won one of our most coveted stakes. That was the Grade 1 Whitney Invitational at Saratoga, of course. Was a game pace-setting second in the Grade 1 Metropolitan and the Grade 3 Westchester, and he earned over $687,000. He's one of more than 100 stakes winners by the late Unbridled Song, and he's out of the multiple Grade 1 winners, Stop Traffic. Shaking It Up won the Grade 1 Malibu, the Grade 2 Stroob, the Grade 2 San Vicente, earned more than $664,000. He's from the first crop by the popular young sire, Midnight Luke, the champion sprinter. Out of a daughter of Silver Bullet Day, champion at 2, champion at 3, winner of over $3 million. There's an open house at Spendthrift Farm from noon to 3 throughout the sale. Lunch is available, so stop by and see the Spendthrift stands. For more information, get in touch with Des Dempsey, Brian Lyle, or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030 and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com.
Open house.
I said open house, Jackie. Pay attention.
Right.
All right. Two products that I happen to believe in, Lubricin and Reborn. Hey, I forgot to take my Lubricin this morning. I've got to go home and...
No wonder he's so cranky.
Grease my joints. Both of them were developed by Dr. Steve Alday, who is another one who has been a big supporter of old friends over there.
Yeah, he's on our board of directors.
Well, he's done a great job, too.
Yeah, he has. He's been unbelievable.
Yeah, nice guy. Anyway, and both products are endorsed by many owners, trainers, and veterinarians, and both, incidentally, are all natural and all test-free, and they're Lubricin. Lubricin, to put it simply, sustains the integrity of the joint fluid and can help reduce the need for costly and painful acid injections, and trainers that use Lubricin on a regular basis include Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollendorfer, Mike Maker, and to mention just a few of them. They also... have Lubricin for humans, and that's what I take. Tastes pretty good, too. What kind of a taste is that?
Grape.
Whatever it is, you can chug-a-lug it if you want to. And
bring it over to Ralph's.
And it's real good. Reborn is a 100% sterile, whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum, and it's safe to use as a dietary supplement for horses of all ages, starting with foals. And what it does is strengthen the immune system. It's very popular. I tell you, Wise Dan ran on it, and some of the top horses that run on that, including Angela Renee and Daredevil, and the list just goes on and on.
Stop charging Maria. A lot of the Pletcher horses. I think all the Pletcher horses.
The Pletcher's horses use it. Yeah. I mentioned him a little bit earlier. Go to lubricin.com.
I'm not paying attention either, Jackie.
Well, you shut up for just a second. Lubricin.com, LUBRISYN.com, and is this website, and reborn.com, REBORNE.com. So, and you can buy, I hate to plug it, but there you are. You can buy the ones for the humans over at Old Friends.
In our fabulous gift shop, just in time for your Christmas shopping.
Oh, if you go online and get their phone number, you can call them and they'll ship it to you.
Yeah, we know. Well, Cowboy Cal is a sire of 5 stakes horses, 2 stakes winners in his first crop, including a Group 2 stakes winner. Got a 2-year-old that's placed in stakes
in his second crop this year, and he sired winners at major tracks from coast to coast. He was a runner himself and won 6 stakes, 5 graded, placed in 7 more, 6 graded, including 3 grade 1, and he earned more than $1 million. Now, Cowboy Cal is by 3 times champion sire Giant's Causeway, currently the nation's number 1 ranked sire 2-year-olds, number 1 ranked sire of graded stakes winners this year, and 2nd on the North American sire list. Cowboy Cal stands at Pin Oak Stud, home also of Alternation, a multiple graded stakes winner millionaire. He's by Distorted Humor, and his first foals will arrive next year. He descends from the same female family as Broken Vow, incidentally. So I have 26 2014 stakes horses, including the grade 1 winner Rose Lynn, who just sold for $1 million as a racing breeding prospect last Monday at Facing Tipton. For more on the Pin Oak Stands, get in touch with Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens at 859-873-1420 and see the website at pinoakstud.com. Gentlemen, you're going to have to give, one of you is going to have to give Jackie her seat so she can do her announcements.
What were you going to do?
What was I going to do?
I forget.
I'm going to go to the game, so I'll go and get ready to go.
You're going to
the football game?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you're a big Georgia fan.
Oh, no, I'm a UK fan.
Oh, you're a UK fan?
Unless they're playing Auburn.
Unless they're playing.
Then I'm pretty torn, but.
Thank God they're not playing Auburn. <You know? laughs> Georgia been kind of in and out this year. I don't know what happened to them last week.
They've got their running back suspended, but I think he's back for the Auburn game, so that's good.
Oh, he's not back for the Kentucky?
I think he's still out this week and maybe back next week.
I don't think it was their I think it was their defense that let him down last week, because Florida just kind of rent him out of the stadium, didn't they?
Is that the Auburn-Georgia game's one of the oldest in the Deep South? That's the oldest rivalry.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
That's where War Eagle comes from. When Auburn people say War Eagle.
Yeah.
There's supposed to be an Auburn-Georgia game after the Civil War, and an Auburn grad had fought, I think it was the Battle of the Wilderness, had this eagle he found. And then Auburn was behind in the game. The eagle started to fly over the field, and then Auburn came back and beat Georgia, but then I think the eagle died. And so everybody said War Eagle. So that's where it comes
from. Ursula was at that game. He still got his gay stub. He remembers that well.
Well, I had to win.
There you go.
Yeah. So there's the history for you. But I'm going to take off. It's good to see you, everybody.
Me too.
All
right. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Ursula.
Come visit us.
We'll see you guys a little bit later.
We'll get the golf cart and some horse blankets. We're just doing the tours now. We're going into our winter hours, so the tours are every day at 11 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
So if anybody wants to come on a tour, it's 11 o'clock. I'll get the golf cart and the horse blanket. Nobody will freeze.
Golf cart and a horse blanket. All right.
And maybe something from Ralph's.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Jackie. Let's see where we are here. Well, I might as well, it's the top of the hour. I'll catch up, and then you can go with it, okay?
Okay.
Well, Go Zapper was a sire of 3 stakes winners last weekend. Judy the Beauty won the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint with Better Lucky, another daughter of Go Zapper, finishing 2nd. Molly Morgan posted her 3rd graded stakes win by taking the Grade 2 $200,000 Chaluki Stakes down at Churchill Downs. 2-year-old My Fiona won the $200,000 Golden State Juvenile Stakes out at Santa Anita. That was her 2nd stakes win. And yet another 2-year-old filly by Go Zapper, Paula Silver Lining, winner earlier, the Grade 2 Matron, ran 2nd in the Grade 3 Tempted at Aqueduct. Now, keep in mind that Adina Springs, 10 times the nation's leading breeder and the home of Go Zapper, is offering, starting today at Keeneland, a high-quality collection of in-foal broodmares that all of them are being sold with a no-return season to one of the top stallions at Adina Springs. Just check the catalog page for the season that comes with that individual mare. And yes, several seasons to Go Zapper are listed. So go to Barn 5 today out of Keeneland. Take advantage of this rare opportunity to purchase a quality individual from the nation's leading breeder 10 of the last 11 years. And that, my friends, is Adina Springs.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, WLXG Lexington, and LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
Well, 13 2-year-old fillies went to the post for the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf, which was won easily by Lady Eli, and she's an undefeated filly by Divine Park. Lady Eli was bred by Runnymede Farm and Catesby Clay. owned by Sheep Farm Partners, and is trained by Chad Brown. So congratulations to all. She won by widening two and three-quarter lengths and a time of 1:33.2. It's brilliant time for a juvenile of either sex. She's 3 for 3. Went into the race off a easy score in Belmont's Grade 3 Miss Grillo Stakes. Won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf at the direct expense of Grade 1 winner Sunset Glow. And she's earned over $719,000. Now, Grade 1 winner Divine Park stands at Airdrie Stud, which is the home of the just-retired Cairo Prince, a graded stakes-winning son of the nation's number one-ranked second-crop sire, Pioneer of the Nile. Cairo Prince won the Grade 3 Nashua Stakes and was second by Knowles in the Grade 2 Remsen as a two-year-old, won the Grade 2 Holy Bull by over 5 lengths, and then he was injured while running fourth in the Grade 1 Florida Derby. He gave a good account of himself even while injured. A superb individual, he is to stand for $10,000 when the foal stands and nurses at Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and keep in mind that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All right, Jackie, you want to do some announcements so I can rest my tonsils?
All right, I'll be happy to. As Michael noted, I had that first announcement. We're up here till 10 o'clock, probably about 10:15. If any of y'all here at the training center want to come up and get a November condition book, we're open till 10:15. And I was perusing the condition book. Hadn't run over there in a while. And it's got a ban on horse slaughter. Now, this is great. They didn't when we ran over there. But any owner or trainer based at Churchill Downs who sells a horse for slaughter previously stabled at Churchill Downs will have his or her stalls permanently revoked. How about that? You know, the only time I was ever stalked, or whatever you call it, some guy we had a horse that started that came back with, he had blood running out of his one nostril, and he didn't bleed from the lungs. It turned out he had hit his head against the starting gate and popped the blood vessel in there, and of course it bled. Well, this guy was a killer guy, killer buyer, and he followed me all over the place. I can give him a nice home. We've got nice pastures, the whole blankety-blankety stuff. That guy was a killer buyer, so I guess they kind of keeping them out of Churchill Downs. I'm pleased. I think that's just great. Okay, let's see. Oh, for trainers and owners, Churchill Downs closings Wednesday, November 12th for the following stakes. The Falls City Handicap, that's a Grade 2, $200,000, fillies and mares 3-year-old and up. The Clark Handicap, Grade 1, $500,000. Boy, that's a lot of money. 3-year-olds and up, mile and eighth. Ooh, I like those long races. Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. It's a Grade 2, $200,000 for 2-year-olds, mile and 16th. That's the end of November. These stakes are through Thanksgiving weekend. Have a nice crowd. Goldenrod Grade 2, $200,000. 2-year-old fillies. So they got the fillies on Saturday. They got a filly, $200,000, the Goldenrod, and they got a just regular open, $200,000, 2-year-olds. That's a Jockey Club Stakes. So they're running through November 30th, so this is a nice way to wrap up. That's a good weekend. That's a lot of money. Okay, at the horse park, they are having a production of something called The Spirit of the Horse. It was performed for the first time at Altec Arena last year. This is its second season. It's on December 5th and 6th. It features world-class horses, including 3-time United States Dressage Federation Horse of the Year, Ray Meister, and top dressage riders. It's more of a show than it is a competition. It's just really, really pretty. And it's Performance are 7 o'clock Friday and Saturday, December 5th and 6th. $15 for adults, $10 for children, and children under 12 are free. The Magical Barn Tour had hundreds of spectators last year. It's back for $5. It is really, really a nifty thing to do with your kids getting ready for Christmas. If you want tickets, go to kybdressage.com. Let's see. Oh, Cigar. The Horse Park is having a memorial service at the Hall of Champions to honor Cigar. It will be Friday, November 14th at 2 o'clock. Hall of Champions is near his gravesite in the paddock that he lived in for 15 years. That's going to be really nice. First Lady Jane Beshear will be there. And longtime visitor to the Hall of Champions. Fans are welcome to bid a final farewell to the horse known as the incomparable, invincible, unbeatable Cigar. So you go to the memorial services included with park admission. And videos of his races and stuff will play in the Hall of Champions. They're making fun of my purse over here. Knock it off, Don Combs. Lifting up my purse like it weighs a lot.
It's Michael, if you want your bad Sunday edition, you can come back and get it.
He didn't take it?
No, I didn't have time to.
Oh, I thought he did. Anyway, it's really, really nice. They're going to have this nice memorial service. You want to interrupt me?
No. Yeah. Turn that mic on. You got his mic on? Don Combs just came. He was telling me something about the Clark. What about the Clark handicap?
I said, when I won the Clark, I heard Jackie saying it's $500,000. When I won it, it was $25,000.
Oh, geez, didn't that stink?
And yeah, I could make some money, and I didn't make $15, $20. But and when I won the Bluegrass, it was $25,000 too.
Jeez, yeah, but you know, $25,000. I'm not gonna date you, but $25,000 at that time was about like $500,000 now.
No, no.
I don't know. All those guys are rich, and I'm poor as a church mouse.
Who'd you win the Clark with?
Warbucks.
Warbucks? Mm-hmm. He won a lot of races with Warbucks.
He won 18 races.
18
races. He won an Oakland handicap. He won a lot. He won the Fed.
Yeah.
It was probably 10,000. I don't know. It wasn't much. It was probably 20,000 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was in the 70s.
I remember the horse very well.
He won everything.
To think what it was buying. I can't think of it.
Shawnee.
Oh, yeah. Shawnee was an imported horse.
He was by Royal Charger.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think, did he stand at the Stallion Station?
I wouldn't be surprised. Probably did. I don't remember, but probably.
Either there or Combs had him.
Yeah, one of them.
One of them had him.
It could have been Spinthrift. I don't remember. I should know, but I don't remember. That's too long. I remember yesterday. I must. That's 40, 50 years ago, 60 years ago.
Right there with you, brother.
My goodness.
Yeah,
I heard your boy on here a few minutes ago. Where's he headed off so sorely to?
Michael?
Yeah.
Oh, back to the farm.
Oh, back to
the
farm.
He got out of gas.
I guess he's probably got some work to do back there.
Well, he didn't.
Heading out to
he stays out of the way.
Yeah, go out there.
Oh, is he going to Keeneland?
Well, I bet he is. He does all the time.
Well, it's a little early, dear. I mean, yeah, you know, we came on at 8 this morning.
Well,
you
that's
know.
Right. I'm all confused.
I'm going to go home and get ready to go to the ball game.
Now, well, that's where you're going.
That's where doctors went too.
I'm going to try to get them through there today. But they played so poorly the other day. Surely they'll make up for it today.
Well, it's home. I hope they have a good crowd.
Yeah, I thought they were good enough to win the other day, and I'm sure they were. But they had a lot of drop balls. If that one guy dropped that ball on an interception, he could run for a touchdown. Instead, they got a touchdown. That was a 2-touchdown turnaround. That was a big deal.
Yeah, it was.
It was right. I could have caught that one. Gee whiz.
I've dropped better ones.
Call the coach.
But anyway, I wanted to win. I wanted them to win real well, but I fell really badly. But I think, you know, they'll make it. If they choose them for a bowl, and if they can win a couple more games, they could get a decent bowl. And I think they can. I think.
Well, they don't have but two more after
they
this.
Got Tennessee and Louisville.
Yeah.
I want them to beat both of those anyway, so we'll see what happens.
Well, listen, they I think the improvement they showed this year has been remarkable. If somebody would say
it, done well. They've worked hard, those trainers and coaches, they've worked really hard. The kids are working hard, and they're young. They're 18, 19 years old. My goodness gracious.
If somebody said for the season, would you take 5 wins? I'd say, heck yeah.
Give it to me now.
Yeah, and that's 3 up from last year.
So, y'all, I was over there checking on a horse at work this morning. They said, well, I thought Ursula was here. And I was going to say hello to y'all. And they said, oh, no, he's over here. This is a good spot. You've got cookies and a heater and a refrigerator. My goodness, this is
and a restroom.
And a restroom. This one you have to leave over there to come over here, right?
You know what's funny about that restroom? I was sitting here looking at it. It's that wooden door. Somebody put a vent on top of that door.
That's nice.
Well, it
needs a vent.
There's a vent.
The picture of that sexy girl on the right's been there for about 20 years, you know. Yeah. She's a grandmother now.
A great-grandmother, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Well, I just want to say hello to y'all. And I heard you say about that, and I said, darn, I must have come around a little early.
Yeah. That's it.
But anyway, maybe I'll have another one. Who knows? You never know. Maybe one of these things I'm breeding, maybe one of them jump up and run well.
That's what keeps you coming out here, isn't it?
I guess.
Where
am
that
I?
That and stubbornness.
This has been quite a little room here, you know. I mean, it's got a lot of history
here. It's a neat little building. I like this little building.
Yeah, I remember they had a sign up there talk about they're having an AA meeting, Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. Somebody wrote on the bottom of it, BYOB, bring your own bottle.
Yeah, and not only that, probably could get about 3 people in here. So.
Yeah, right.
Y'all be good. Nice to talk to you.
All right, Doc. Thanks for stopping by.
Bye. You want to do some commercials?
Yeah. Algorithms is one of the best bred young sons of Bernardini at stud. He was a runner, undefeated. He won his first time out at Belmont as a 2-year-old by over 5 lengths, then came right back at Gulfstream, won again, 6.5 furlongs, 1:15-2. In his third and final start before an injury entered his career, he won the Grade 3 Holy Bull Stakes, won by 5 over Handsome, the previous year's champion 2-year-old. Bernardini is a classic-winning son of AP Indy. He ranks among the leading sires again this year. His stud fee for this next year is $85,000. Ava knows the code. The Dam of Algorithms has produced 5 stakes winners, 4 of them graded stakes winners, and one of them, Justin Phillip, is by the Claiborne Farm Stay in First Samurai. And Justin Phillip entered stud this year for $12,500. Algorithm stands for $7,500, doing a full stands and nurses. His first foals are weanlings. Look for them out of Keeneland. And for more on the Claiborne stands, get in touch with Bernie Sams at 859-233-4252 and see the website at claiborneFarm.com. Want to talk to my friend about my friends Hill and Reagan Parker? I got to give Hill a call, too, as far as that goes. Talk to him before Jenny, my daughter, gets up here from Arizona.
Oh, yeah, she's looking maybe for a house.
Yeah, she might be trying to talk her into moving back up here, so I got to give Hill a call. And here's his number if you want to give him a call. It's 859-608-8039. Now, he can sell you houses and everything else, but, of course, they specialize, Hill and Reagan, his wife. They work as a team, and they specialize in horse farms. And they've been in the business for about 13 years now. And Hill, of course, is a hands-on horseman, one of the best around. And their website, I'll give it to you in a minute. You need to go, because they got listings at Fayette, Bourbon, Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, Clark. Outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices. And it's, you know, what it is, if you're looking for a horse farm, they know. You tell them just what you need, and they know how to find it for you. And they go out of the way. They're great people to work with. They just sold Nina Holland's farm down in Paris, Kentucky, and she went bumped into Nina out of Keeneland the other day, and she went on and on about what good people they were to work with and how happy she was. And it didn't take them long to sell it, and they did a great job for her. And they'll do that for you, too. So I'll give them a call at that number, 859-608-8039, and go to their website. It's lexhorsefarms.com. They got a complete listing there, lexhorsefarms.com, and that's Hill and Reagan Parker. They do a great job for you. All right, well, the place to go shopping today out of Keeneland is in the consignment of Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Agent, they're in Barn 10, and we mean today because they sell today. There you'll find Mares and Folder Awesome Again and Candy Ride. They've got two in fold of More Than Ready. There's another in fold of Trap Shot. They've got Weanings by Trap Shot, Dialed In, Quality Road, Gio Ponte, The Factor, Warrior's Reward, Artie Schiller, Drosselmeyer, Hanson. Now, that's Barn 10, and they sell today. Then on Monday, go to Barn 34 to see more Weanings and Infold Mares offered by Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm agent. And if you're not familiar with Crestwood Farm, you should be. It's a great place to board your horses. It's family-owned, it's family-operated, and they treat your clients like family. Most of the clients have been with them for years. They offer a wide variety of services, and they're noted for raising runners. Over 250 stakes horses they've raised out there, including three distaffers that earned over $2 million each. Look them up in Barn 10, see them at the sale, call a farm at 859-252-3770, and go to the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All right, and then I'm going to do my Man of War things.
Okay. Daily Racing Forum donates $61,000 to the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance. That's really nice. As a result of DRF handicapper Matt Bernier's sixth place finish in the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge. How about that? That's excellent. Also, it's a milestone for Ken and Sarah Ramsey. They're so much fun. They won their 400th career race at Churchill Downs Wednesday when a three-year-old gelding Sandbar prevailed in the second race. They're the all-time leading owners at Churchill with Overbrook a distant second with 208. That is really good. They are they know how to have a good time. That guy's smart. Spendthrift Open House. Extending through the sale, which is sale ends on the 3rd of December. Oh, it's from 12 to 3. You got 12-3. That's when it's open. Anyway,
From noon until 3 o'clock. Until
3, yeah. See, I saw 12-3 and I thought, my God, they're going to open house forever. Anyway, I wish they would. New for 2015, a Golden Sense, winner of the Breeders' Cup Mile. I want to go see him. He's by Into Mischief. Grade 1 winner, Cross Traffic, by Unbridled Song. And Grade 1 winner, Shaking It Up, by Midnight Loot. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Ashford's having an open house also through Sunday, November 9th. There from 11 to 3. That's out at Coolmore, of course. Hot lunch provided. Yippee. Okay, a growing list of owners and trainers are stepping up to the plate to support New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program. A bunch of their money is coming from various winners of the Breeders' Cup. Let's see, United States Dressage Finals out at the Horse Park run through tomorrow. This is the World Championship. It's a big deal. Training level through Grand Prix and all that good stuff. Today at the Horse Park, it's a Kentucky High School Athletic Association cross country meet. Been to that a bunch of times. Coming up Friday, November 14th through Sunday, November 16th is the 8th annual holiday market. The Junior League puts us on. Boutique style holiday shopping, a lot of fun stuff, different stuff if you're looking to get ready for the holiday season. I can't believe it's so soon. Southern Light Stroll. This is a 5K and a stroll. It has the mini train rides, refreshment, prize drawing. It opens up Southern Lights. This is Thursday, November 20th. That's Thursday before Thanksgiving. It's a food drive. If you want to bring cans, they'll have places where you can put your canned goods and stuff, food for God's Pantry and animal shelters. You want to bring dog food, cat food, and stuff. That's Thursday, November 20th at 5 o'clock at the Horse Park. That's another kind of a traditional thing to do with kids as you're getting ready for ho, ho, ho. Southern Lights then opens up the next night, Friday, November 21st. Through December 31st, which is a Wednesday. They're open from 5:30 to 10 o'clock at night. It's super duper. You can't miss that. Every Christmas. It's a part of Christmas. Friday, November 21st through Saturday, November 22nd is the Alika Pro Rodeo. So get your cowboy hat on and your boots and get out there. Saturday, November 22nd through the 23rd is Women's Arena Polo. Come on, girls, get out to Horse Park. Exhilarating weekend of arena polo.
All right, Jackie. Yeah. Well, November 2 at Santa Anita, the Grade 2 Gold of Cobra Stakes was won by Falimbi. That's a 4-year-old filly. She's by Mizzen Mass. Falimbi won by Daylight after breaking last in a field of 8. She went 5 wide into the stretch. She's got 6 wins now, been in the money in 12 over 13 starts, and the Gold of Cobra was her third stakes victory. She won Saratoga's De La Rose Stakes earlier this year, won stakes in France last year, and she has earned over $386,000. Ms. Mass is a sire of 7 2014 stakes winners, among them the undefeated 2-year-old colt, Full Mass. He is the most recent of Ms. Mass' Grade 1 stakes winners. He's got 7, and Grade 1 winner Litteris, and a Grade 2 winner Stone Tastic all this year. Now, Falimbi is out of the Seattle Slough mare, Flute. Of course, Flute won the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and the Grade 1 Alabama. Earned more than $1 million. And Flute has a weanling filly by First Defense out of Judmont Farm. First Defense and Ms. and Math both stand at Judmont. Inquiries of Garrett Worker and Fry, see the website at judmont.com. Oh, boy, this is going to take a while. Runners raised on products from McCauley Brothers won 8 stakes last week, including the winners of 4 Breeders' Cup races. Untappable, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Distaff, was bred by Winsor Thoroughbreds and raised at Corinthian Farm. Texas Red, bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings, won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile. The Grade 2 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf winner, Hootenanny, was bred by Barronstown and raised at Ashford Stud. Judy the Beauty, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint, may have been foaled in Canada, but she was raised in Kentucky by her breeder, Dina Springs. In other stakes, the Grade 2 Shaluki was won by Molly Morgan, raised at Belvedere Farm, for breeders Mike Lawford, Bill Cubbage, and Greg McDonald. The Grade 3 Tempted was won by Jacaranda, bred and raised at Vinery. The Damascus Stakes winner, Shittu, was raised at Trackside Farm for our breeders Tom Evans, Macon Will Mill Equines, and Marjack Farms. And the Senator Ken Matty Stakes winner, Amarath, was bred by Alan Ponce Dexter and Mock Mahal and raised at Mock Mahal Farm. Congratulations to all from McCauley Brothers, the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. And to top all those off, the $3 million weanling sold by Hillendale out of the Keeneland sales was raised on McCauley products by Dale Ridge Farm. So at the sales and at the races, it's McCauley Brothers. Their products are the best. So call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 859-873-3333. See the website at McCauleyBros.com or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, that's where it's all about the horse.
Can't find it?
Ursa.
Yeah.
What about Connor? Didn't Connor trim that horse that sold for so much money?
Connor McCarthy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he trimmed that. He claimed that weanling. Sure did.
Trimmed that weanling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. See, there you go. $3 million job. That's what I say.
Yeah. Don't bring it up. He may charge us more.
Oh, yeah. Shh. Okay. Mum's the word.
All right. Daily Racing Form. Sunday edition is out today, and it's got some nice articles in there. John Sparkman's writing about Baby Zip, who happens to be the dam of both Judy the Beauty and the excellent sire City Zip. Joe Nevels is writing about weanlings out at the sale out and how they are attracting a lot of attention. There are articles about the 2015 stud fees for Ashford Stud, for TaylorMade, and I Want Revenge is being relocated to Millennium Farms. I believe that's right, Millennium Farms. Anyway, read the article and you'll find out if I'm right or wrong. Also, their past performances in the form from Churchill and Aqueduct and Thistle Downs and Gulfstream Park and Woodbine. It's this, of course, it's always got great articles in it. It's a wonderful addition
the Sunday edition is, as is every day edition of the Daily Racing Form. You just can't do without it. It's racing's Bible. And check it out on the breeding. Go to drf.com/breeding, and you can check that out. And you can sign up to receive a DRF breeding update. Get in touch visit drf.com/breeding update and sign up today, and they'll get it to you. It's the Daily Racing Form, American's Bible, and racing, and me personally couldn't do without it. All righty. Jackie, you got some more announcements there?
Yeah, I have one more. Today at Lakeshore is KTD, today and tomorrow. Kentucky Hunter Jumper Association's having a show. And I went over to the clocker stand this morning, and Susie, our clocker, handed me a really cute Christmas horse head. It's made of evergreen stuff. And it's really nice. It's got the head and the arched neck and ears and all that kind of stuff. It's flat, and it's also got mane on it, and it's decorated with a red bridle, which is Christmas ribbon. I brought it over here because they thought that more people would see it here than in the clocker stand. It's called the Ride on Curlin' Wreath. Now, this girl does wreaths, and she does life-size horses and everything. Truthfully, I don't know how to pronounce her name. It's Amy Bumpus?
Looks like it to me.
B-U-M-P-A-O-U-S. Anyway, it's Fun KY Country Creations on Facebook. And although it's funny because it's F-U-N, capital K-Y, I looked at it and it said to me, Funky Country Creations, but it's Fun K-Y. Her phone number is 270, Amy's phone number, 348-2887. I just thought and if you want to see it, it's over here in the HBPA office at Training Center.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're going to start on your...
The old bit that was written, they can't find it down there. So we'll see what's
after going. All that.
After all that. But
maybe she could call, what's his name?
Well,
Sean would, Say.
Well, it's...
He knows where it is.
It's on the CD. Well, he was going to put it on there for me. But anyway, I've got some stuff that I can do on it. I'll just go ahead and start on it now. You know, last week was Breeders' Cup.
Yes.
And November 1, which was also the anniversary of Man of War's death. And I didn't do anything on it at that time because, you know, it was a Breeders' Cup and so forth like that. So I've got to make up for it because, you know, this is the best horse ever stepped on a racetrack. And I'm not alone in that opinion, by the way. It's been verified by the Blood Horse and a bunch of historians. The book that they put out, The Best Horses of the 20th Century, and Man of War happens to be on the cover of that, is number one. But there was something about this horse. I remember distinctly the first time I ever saw him. I was just a kid. And it's hard to explain, hard to put your finger on. I think probably Herbert Hazeltine, who was a sculptor, that Samuel Riddle, who owned, of course, Faraway Farms and Man of War, had asked to execute the horse's likeness in that the stature, you know, that's now out at the horse park. It used to be right over on Huffman Mill Road.
Yeah.
You know, in a paddock where Man of War was Man of War's paddock. And that's where the statue was put up, you know. But I think maybe Mr. Hazeltine, who spent a lot of time looking at the horse, kind of explained it a little bit, and this is a quote from him. He said, "There was something that emanated from that noble animal that took my breath away." And it surely did. It kind of made me feel the same way. And Abe Hewitt, hey, Mike, Abe Hewitt, who was a great horseman, renowned horseman, bred a Belmont Stakes winner. He owned them, bred them, did everything, you know, that he could do with horses, and he was highly thought of. And in his lifetime, his life spanned, and he got to see both of those, the two greatest horses of the century race, that was Man of War. you saw him race, and he saw Secretariat race, which that's quite something I always thought, you know, to see both of those at the same time. Well, Abe Hewitt, in his book that he wrote, Sire Lines, which originally was published in 1977 and was updated and came out again. It was published in the Blood Horse, and I've got a copy of it. And he wrote about Man of War in that. So I'm going to read you a little bit what he wrote. It said, at irregular intervals, sometimes spaced many years apart, horses appear on the turf that have an electrifying effect on racing men. The blood surges and the pulses quicken at the very sight of such Olympians on the track, and this reaction is not strictly related to racing performances. In France, Czar, 1918, had it, so that it was a national disaster when he was beaten, which happened a few times. Native Dancer had it, and in recent times, Secretariat had it. Going back further, Colin, 1905, had it, and the rider listened to old-time horsemen talk about him with an otherworld expression on their faces. Man of War was the first great horse the Arthur ever saw perform. We can still remember vividly the first time we ever saw him. It was Futurity Day at Belmont Park. In order to be sure to get a good look at Man of War, we left the stands early. In those days, there were some large trees in the Belmont paddock, as well as clumps of laurel. Rounding some of the laurel bushes, one was flanked by tall trees whose branches nearly met overhead, like a golden arch. Underneath this arch, framed by the dark shadows behind, stood a chestnut colt with ears pricked. He radiated majesty, energy, and power, a veritable Alexander, awaiting the moments for new worlds to conquer. That was 55 years ago, and we never saw such a sight again. That was Abe Hewitt. Joe Palmer wrote about him and in a book when Sam Riddle died. He wrote about Sam Riddle, and of course Sam Riddle owned Man of War. So this is a quote. This is from a column that he wrote. On June 30, 1861, Matt Wynn was born in Louisville, Kentucky. On the following day, Samuel Doyle Riddle was born in Glen Riddle, Pennsylvania. Being an extremely stubborn man, Mr. Riddle outlived his contemporary by something more than a year. His death a few days ago removed one of the few remaining links which bound racing of today to the racing of the previous century. And, in fact, if there is any older man now living who played an important part in the long pageant of racing, his name escapes me at the moment. This tourist knew Mr. Riddle for some 15 years and had various arguments with him, ranging from mild to bitter with him, as anyone who knew him that long was sure to have. But he has always been honored in this corner for one somewhat peculiar reason. He never forgot that Man of War was a horse. If this seems an obvious thing to remember, then you are not well acquainted with Man of War. He was as near to a living flame as horses ever get, and horses get closer to this than anything else. It was not merely that he smashed his opponents, sometimes by 100 lengths, or that he set world records, or that he cared not a tinker's curse for weight or distance or track or horses. It was that even when he was standing motionless in his stall, with his ears pricked forward and his eyes focused on something slightly above the horizon, which mere people never see, energy still poured from him. He could get in no position which suggested actual repose, and his very stillness was that of the coiled spring of the crouched tiger. All horses, and particularly all stallions, like to run, exulting in their strength and power. Most of them run within themselves, as children run at play. But Man of War, loose in his paddocks at far away, dug in as if the prince of all the fallen angels were at his throat latch. And great chunks of sod sailed up behind the lash of his power. Watching, you felt there had never been, nor could ever be again, a horse like this. Well, I got to see that.
Yeah. You know, I found it on YouTube, on my phone.
No, okay.
At a funeral, so.
Well, okay.
She's putting it in.
Putting it in? Well, wait a minute. I'm not, okay. You putting it in right now? Well, yeah. Where'd she find it?
She's got the CD down. She's
She's fixing it.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll take a little break here and then come back, and we're going to park.
If you can't.
Yeah, see if you can get him.
I talked to him that weekend.
Okay.
I wanted to run all this back to back, but you know, the best laid plans of man. We will shoot. Okay, you're trying to get Steve or what?
Yeah, we'll get him.
Okay, well, the day that Albertus Maximus won the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup mile, he got the distance 1:33.2. The winning time for this year's Breeders' Cup dirt mile, 1:35. Albertus Maximus also set a new track record for a mile in the Windy Sands handicap. That's at Dilmar. Won the Grade 1 Don handicap, going a mile and an eighth at Gulfstream Park. And he placed in the Grade 1 Goodwood, the Grade 3 Affirmed, and the Grade 2 Swaps Breeders' Cup mile. Retired with earnings of over $1,328,000. The first crop by Albertus Maximus will race next year, and he stands at Shadwell Farm, home also of Daher, Interdab, and Invisor. Every stallion with foals of racing age at Shadwell has sired graded stakes winners, and all three are siring hard-hitting runners that pay their way at the races. It's noteworthy that the Shadwell stallions stand for reasonable stud fees. Just give stallion manager Ken Barnes a call at 859-224-4585. And see the website at ShadwellFarm.com.
Why unlimited generations and why a new generation is using APR Online.
All right. Well, last Sunday at Aqueduct, the Grade 3 Tempted Stakes was won by Jacaranda, 2-year-old filly by Congrats. And the day before at Santa Anita, another 2-year-old filly by Congrats. Top Dessel ran second in the Grade 1 $2 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, beating just a half length for all the money. Jacaranda and Top Dessel are among the 12 current 2-year-old winners from Congrats' first Kentucky crop of 2-year-olds. Earlier stakes winners by Congrats include Turbulent Descent, winner 4 Grade 1 stakes of more than $1,211,000 and sold at last Monday's Fancy Tippin sale for $2,450,000. Grade 1 winner Wickedly Perfect, Grade 1 winner Emma's Concord, and more than 30 stakes horses. Congrats, a multiple graded stakes winner of nearly $1 million, is by AP India, and he's a full brother to the popular sire Flatter, out of praise by Mr. Prospector. Stands at Windstar Farm. For more information, call Darren Fox, Sean Tugler, Kyle Wilson at 859-873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty. Well, I've got Steve Moody with me today. Right now. Today, of course, would be the day, wouldn't it? Anyway, and of course, he's the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, which is published by Bloodstock Research Information Services. And the feature at Churchill today is the River City Handicap. And Steve, how are you this morning?
Doing all right, Ursula.
Well, I'm glad. Where are you? You sound like you're in a well.
Well, I'm on the road headed for Louisville.
Oh, okay. Going to Louisville? Hell, you ought to be going to the football game. Maybe you're getting away from it, huh?
Yeah, I have to kind of avoid some of the traffic here on New Circle Road.
Yeah, okay. Well, who can you read and drive at the same time? Handicap and drive at the same time?
Well, I can now since I'm at a stoplight, so
you better hurry.
they're fast and firm down at Churchill today for the River City, and a field of 11 has been drawn. The big question here is, what do you do with Silver Mac? I mean, this is a horse that clearly is the best of the speed. He's going to go right to the front and challenge his rivals to come and catch him. The question is, can he get to mile and an eighth, and will he be out there all by himself? I'm thinking that maybe there'll be just enough pressure on him to keep him honest, and maybe the mile and an eighth might be a bit too far, so I'm going to try to beat him today with the Ramsey runner, Gentleman's Kitten, the two horse. It's Kitten's Joy. Colt came back from a layoff. Got a win and a second for Mike Maker, and he's got some versatility. He can run up on the lead, or he can rate, and I kind of look for him to rate just behind Silver Max, and then come and get him in the stretch run. He's 8-1 on the morning line, compared to Silver Max 7-5. So if they're that close, there's a, you know, that's a no brainer for me, 8-1 over 7-5. So that's where we're going to go. And then the Charlie Opresti horse, Villandry, who's another one that likes the Churchill turf, and he's going to be running at the end, so he's got to have, you know, he's a little bit more slave to the pace than Gentleman's Kitten, but I do look for him to be running late and get part of it. He's also 8-1 on the morning line. So we're trying to beat the favorite today. We're going to go 2-4-6 in the River City.
Okay, Steve. Well, thank you. I think the light just turned green. Hope I didn't get you in trouble, get you a ticket or something this morning.
But we are moving forward.
Oh, well, good. Well, be careful. Keep both hands on the wheel. And we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Ernst.
Okay, thanks. It's been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheets. You can pick that up. Well, go to brisnet.com is the best way to get one, BRISNET.com, or you can pick it up wherever they sell the daily racing form. So it's a great, great thing there. Well, all right, well, Mary Jane has found that obit. Hadn't got it read yet. Okay, don't know. All right, well, what we'll do now is take care of our good friends at the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. That's Chauncey Mills. And the winners of Kentucky Bred winners of stakes last week. Pretty good list here, including a bunch of Breeders' Cup races, so we'll go with that. Of course, the Breeders' Cup Classic was won by Bayern, who was bred by Helen Alexander. The Breeders' Cup Turf Grade 1, of course, Main Sequence, was bred by Flaxman Holdings. The Breeders' Cup Sprint winner, Untappable, was bred by Winchell Thoroughbreds. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner, Texas Red, boy, he was impressive. Ooh. Bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner, Take Charge Brandy, because she's by Giant's Causeway, stands over at Ashford Stud, was bred by the Charming Syndicate. She's out of a mare named Charming by Seeking the Gold. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf winner was Lady Eli. That's a two-year-old filly. She's undefeated now by Divine Park, bred by Runnymede Farm and Casebury Clay, which is one and the same. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Grade 1, Hoot Nanny won that. Was bred by Barronstown. Let's see if I can pick this up. The Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint Grade 1, Bobby's Kitten, who was 12th at the 8th pole, went by half length. That's a Kitten's Joy, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. The Grade 2 Marathon at Santa Anita went to Carey Street, bred by Darley. The Gold of Culver Stakes, Grade 2 up at Santa Anita, went to Flimby. She is a four-year-old filly by Mizzen Mass, bred by and owned by Judmont Farm. The Grade 2 Nashville Stakes at Aqueduct winner, Bowfield was bred by Keats Grove Family. The Chalukie Grade 2 at Churchill Downs winner, Molly Morgan by Ghost Zapper, stands over at Dena Springs, was bred by Mike Lawford, Bill Cubbage, and Greg McDonald. The Grade 3 Discovery Handicap winner, Protonico is another Giant's Causeway. This one bred by International Equines Holding. The Tempted Stakes Grade 3, Jacaranda won that by Congrats, bred and owned by Vinery. The Senator Key Maddie Stakes at Santa Anita was bred by, that winner was Amaranth, bred by Alan Pondexter and Muckmar Hall. The Juvenile Turf Sprint Stakes, Ocho, Ocho, Ocho is bred by Sienna Farms. The Damascus Stakes at Santa Anita went to Chittu, was bred by Tom Evans, Macon, Will Mill Equines, and Marjack Family. The Bet on Sunshine Stakes winner, Sharp Sensation, was bred by Honey Valley Farm. The Sparkler Stakes at Gulfstream went to Fascinante, bred by
German Lareal. The Sky Beauty Stakes, Mary Meadow the winner, was bred by David Howe and William Parsons. The Glenville Garden Stakes winner was bred by Eugene Melnick. That's at Woodbine. The Pennsylvania Hunt Cup, here's a goodie. It's 4 miles on the turf.
Yeah, I saw that.
Was bred by, the winner was Delta Park, a 10-year-old gelding, bred by Earl Silver and Michael Eiserman. And let's see, a couple of stakes in, abroad in France. I don't even know how to pronounce this thing. It's a listed stakes. Was won by a Jolly Good Kitten, a 2-year-old colt by Kitten's Joy, bred and owned by Sarah Ramsey and Ken Ramsey. Boy, I tell you what, they've winning them everywhere. The stakes in Great Britain, it listed Fleur de Lis Philly Stakes, went to Tearless, 4-year-old filly by Streetcar, also bred and owned by Darley. Okay.
We'll do that. It's 6 minutes long.
We got 6 minutes long?
We got 10 minutes.
We got 10 minutes.
Okay,
to do this, and then she'll do it.
All right. Well, Golden Sense, the only back-to-back winner of the Grade One Breeders' Cup Mile, is now at Spendthrift Farm, where he is to stay in his first season at stud next year. There too is his sire, Into Mischief, one of the first stallion prospects offered on Spendthrift Farm's popular Share the Upside program. Been quite an upside. Now available on the Share the Upside program of the Grade One winners Cross Traffic and Shaking It Up. Cross Traffic was one of our most one of our most coveted stakes, and that was the Grade One Whitney Invitational. He was a game pace setting second in the Grade One Metropolitan and in the Grade Three Westchester. Earned over $687,000. He's one of more than 100 stakes winners by the late Unbridled Song, and he's out of the multiple Grade One winners Stop Traffic. Shaking It Up won the Grade One Malibu, the Grade Two Stroob, and the Grade Two San Vicente, and earned more than $664,000 from the first crop by the popular young sire Midnight Lute, a champion sprinter. Out of her daughter Silver Bullet Day, of course, she was a champion, earned over $3 million. There's an open house at Spendthrift from noon until 3 throughout the sale. Lunch is available. Stop by and see the Spendthrift stands. And for more information, get in touch with Des Dempsey or Brian Lyle. Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030. See the website at spendthriftfarm.com. Now we're going to, this is an obit written by Joe Palmer, Man of War's obit, and it appeared in American Racehorses of 1947. So Mary Jane, thanks for finding that, and if you play it, we'd appreciate it.
November 1, 1947, the death of Man of War. On Saturday, November 1, at Faraway Farm, Lexington, Kentucky, died, in his 31st year, Man of War, a chestnut horse. That afternoon at Pimlico, where he had won the Preakness, at Jamaica, where he had been 1-100 for the Stuyvesant, at Churchill Downs, where he had never raced, wherever men raced horses, word went round, Man of War died today. There was little you could actually call grief. There was instead a sense of loss, of a vacant place against the sky. The old days now at last were dead, the last link snapped. The American turf had lost, and perhaps would never have again, a single living symbol, a breathing, high-headed, fiery horse which meant racing to every man of racing and to every wandering tourist from Portland or San Diego or Athens, Georgia. To many a grizzling oldster, the news brought back a flash of recollection of a great red horse with a high head and a flying copper mane and a gladiator's thews and Fairplay's wrathful heart, surging from the barrier as Loftus or Coomer or Sandy or Schottinger fought to control the opening burst of power that belonged to Man of War alone. On that day only, the man who remembered Sisonby or Colin or Exterminator as the better horse would have been lynched, his body dishonored, his home burned, and his children hunted, and nobody would have been sorry. For Man of War was, if not more than a horse, then more than a horse had ever been before. Years later, Willie Knapp, who pocketed him with upset and beat him for his only defeat, was to say, if I'd known what he was to become, I'd have let him out. It would only have changed the phrasing, not the magnitude, of Man of War's story. The defeat merely shocked some players at Saratoga on Wednesday, August 13, 1919. And there may have been some second guessing around the auction ring that night as the yearlings from Henry Oxnard's Blue Ridge Stud were being sold. But when Man of War came out next time, he was odds on again. Defeat had not lessened him. He was still the invincible. Such was Man of War the Magnificent. The debate as to how he compared with Sisonby or Colin or Exterminator is idle. Sisonby, beaten once and once finishing in a dead heat, was a splendid racer. Colin broke a string which, except for him, would have extended for five generations in the Belmont Stakes. He beat Fairplay ahead. Fairplay's sire and grandsire had won the race. Two of his sons and five of his grandsons had won it. Exterminator was the grandest stayer and weight carrier and almost the most honest horse of his time. But none of these three, not even the unbeaten Colin, dominated the racing of his time in the fashion of Man of War. No horse has ever done it. He did not merely beat, he annihilated. He did not run to world records, he galloped to them. He was so far superior to his contemporaries that except for the one race against John B. Greer, they could not extend him. In 1920, he dominated racing as perhaps no athlete, not Tilden or Jones or Dempsey or Lewis or Nurmi or Thorpe or any human athlete has dominated his sport. In appearance, he was the most majestic horse of his day. As to conformation, he was not by the rules perfect. He was too wide between the forelegs. Some call him a bit coarse. He carried his head too high. He was too big, too powerful to be a stayer. Generally speaking, the rules are right, though it is interesting to note that Stymie, currently leading money winner of the world and inbred to Man of War, lifts his head higher as he begins to roll into his tremendous stretch run. But the rules are written for horses, not for Man of War. His stride was tremendous, longer than that of any other horse ever measured. And as you would expect, his hindquarters were tremendous, too. His leg nearly straight, the quarters wide, the Gaskins thick, the hock low set and strong. But the forehand, the stayer's bad, was of extraordinary development, too. Muscled heavily and far down, for the cannons were short. His withers were high, so much so as to make him appear low in the back in his prime, and to accentuate the dip, which came with age. His head was wide between the eyes. His head and expression were commanding. His ears were rather small, his eyes large, luminous, intelligent. His neck was long, and the first impression was that he was a long rather than a tall horse. But actually, the measurement from breast to buttock was the same as that from withers to the ground. He had excellent bone, well-defined tendons, springy pastures, and good feet. He was as near to perfection in soundness, health, and vitality as an animal can be. Man of War lost two races, one to upset and one to the white horse, which has never lost a race. In the pride of his maturity, it did not seem as if that red flame could ever be extinguished. And in sober truth, he fought death and pain as if they had been visible enemies there in the stall at Faraway. In fact, he did not ever quite concede defeat, for in the final days when Man of War could not stand, but could only thresh the floor as he fought to stand, Dr. William McGee gave him a sedative to spare him through those last bitter yards of that final race. A lesser horse might have been, in mercy, destroyed, but Man of War must finish out the course. He would have wanted it that way.
All right, that was written by Joe Palmer and published in American Racehorses in 1947. And that, in my opinion, and the opinion of many, the greatest racehorse that ever lived. All right, well, we're about to run out of time here. We've had, the five winners since last week's show. Starting out a little slow this week. Five winners from the Thoroughbred Center. Tim Shorter, saddle one in Mountaineer. So did Jim Rankin. Luis Jurado, saddle one. Anthony Hamilton Jr., saddle one. And so did Brian Michael. And Luis, Anthony, and Brian all won races down at Churchill Downs. That music means that it's time for us to bail out.
We're on next week.
Yeah, we're on next week with the regular time from 10 till noon.
I hope we're on next week.
Yeah, yeah. I will be here, propped up and ready to go.
All righty. Well, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. And Mary Jane, thank you, dear. Appreciate it. And my good buddy over here, Resi Duke. Thanks, Resi.